1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the
ABC
Civic Media
News,
app.
I'm Andy Field. A jury in Idaho convicting Lori Vallow Daybell on 7 counts, including the murder of her 2 children and ex-wife of her current husband. Prosecutors called it a doomsday plot based on her religious beliefs. Larry Woodcock, grandfather of J.J. Vallow, one of the children killed, thanked the jury.
What they went through, what they saw, is mind-boggling. I hope that nobody ever has to go through this.
Vallow Daybell faces life in prison. Her husband, Chad Daybell, will stand trial this summer. The former Marine who placed homeless subway rider Jordan Neely in a deadly chokehold made his first court appearance today on manslaughter charges. Daniel Penny did not enter a plea. He was released on bond pending trial. Residents in the Upper Plains bracing for severe weather and the threat of tornadoes. In Texas, heavy rain could lead to flash flooding over the weekend. This is ABC News. President Biden has nominated Philip Jefferson, a member of the Fed's Board of Governors, to serve as vice chairman of the board.
He would replace Lael Brainard, who left in February to become Biden's top economic advisor if approved by the Senate. Biden also nominated Adriana Kugler, a Georgetown University economist, for a vacant seat on the Board of Governors. If confirmed, she would become the first Hispanic American on the Fed's committee. Kugler and Jefferson's nominations come as the Fed is still dealing with stubbornly high inflation despite continued rising interest rates and a shaky banking system. M1, ABC News, Washington.
United Airlines pilots walking the picket line across the country. They say they could authorize a strike if a new contract can't be reached. Those pilots seeking higher pay. U.S. Postal Service unveiled a stamp honoring Nebraska's chief Standing Bear, a pioneering Native American civil rights leader. Standing Bear won a landmark 1879 court case that ruled Native Americans were people under the law with inherent rights. Andy Field, ABC News.
Great to listen to while having a Liney's and grilling some Sheboygan brats. The Cripes Cast with me, Charlie Behrens, on Civic Media. And don't forget the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matnair. Here's what you need to know. Flags will fly at half-staff today to honor St. Croix County Deputy Katie Lacing. She was shot and killed in the line of duty on May 6th. The public visitation and funeral services will be at the Hudson High School today. Deputy Lacing joined the St. Croix County Sheriff's Office in 2022. 22 years in prison for Marquise Jackson, who pled guilty to aggravated battery and 7 counts of first-degree reckless injury connected to last year's mass shooting outside a Bucks playoff game in Milwaukee. Alexis Jackson Milton received 5 years for aggravated battery. Police say 2 groups got into a confrontation over a long-standing dispute. 17 people were hurt in the shooting that happened last May near Water Street and Juneau. I'm Jane Matnair. This is Civic Media News.
Finding great people to hire is like trying to find a needle in a haystack. It's pretty difficult, right? Well, ZipRecruiter has mastered finding a needle in a haystack, so they take it to the next level. They make hiring so simple that it's like finding a needle in a needle stack. And that's why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/free. Here's what it's like to use ZipRecruiter. They have so many qualified candidates that it's easier to find the right ones for your roles. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. That's a lot of needles. So how do they do it? ZipRecruiter's powerful technology sends you candidates who are a great match for your job, and you can even invite your top choices to apply. So if you want less hay and more needles, head to ZipRecruiter.
ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Smell that? That's the smell of carefully crafted coffee being poured into your cup. With natural notes you can truly taste and freshness you can count on. The High Lift is the only standalone late-day coffee shop in Two Rivers, offering local bakery items with spacious lawn and outdoor seating. The High Lift takes time to weigh out their ingredients, so every sip is perfect. The High Lift, 1207 Madison Street in Two Rivers, and on Facebook. The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening.
Three, two, one.
Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Friday Happier Happy Hour. Dama gets happier. Right now, we got a fine guest right from the top. He is former U.S. Attorney James Hantel, host of the Morning Cannolis right here on the Civic Media Network, 9 to 11 a.m. Saturday mornings. And of course, friend of the Devils, Jim, welcome back. Thanks for joining us.
It is always good to be with the two of you. Delighted to be with you once again this afternoon.
Thank you, Jim. We're calling this the FU Friday edition. It seems to be the attitude of the Republican Party, especially towards, let's call it, the law and the Constitution of late. But Jim, before we turn towards the legal travails of the former and perhaps even the current congressman from New York, George Santos, I want to ask you about the Title 42, I think it's called, the expiration of this Trump-era policy, this COVID policy. And Jim, there are, 130,000 immigrants sitting on the border. To hear Fox News tell it, we are under attack. We are being invaded. Legally, Jim, what's the solution? I mean, how do we put, the genie back in the bottle?
Sure. The solution, one that should have been enacted decades ago, is the United States Congress. That has not done something to do comprehensive immigration reform in as long as I can remember. There have been proposals. And I remember when I was U.S. attorney, there was a package put together, bipartisan support, anticipating that it would go through committee, would get the approval, would get the president's signature on it, and it never happened because we fell apart over not necessarily small things, but things about which reasonable people can differ. We haven't done it. And so we do have a crisis. We're not about to get invaded. There are large numbers of people there in the wake of Title 42, effective 12 o'clock last night with the removal now of our status under the pandemic. We go back to Title 8, which is the way the law was before that. The Biden administration has appropriately recognized that this is going to be a challenge. The Secretary of Homeland Security putting in place some proposals here that have to do with the ways in which we can most methodically get these folks administered this. There's an app for doing that. There's a regional processing centers. This is not easy. And the secretary acknowledges that. But again, we need long-term, we need congressional action on this. And shame on both parties for not doing this for years and years. We continue to suffer in the wake of that inactivity. And that's the real source of the concern.
Well, I think there are some more culpable than others. And I would point towards the last action of the Gang of Eight when they try to get together and they try to bring forth comprehensive immigration reform. Well, it was killed by the Republicans. It was killed by Marco Rubio, and he was one of the co-sponsors of the bill. He wrote the damn thing, and then he opposed it, Jim. So, you know, I know you're a very generous man, but this is an FU Friday kind of a show, Jim. Let's call a spade a spade. It was more the Republicans. But sure, over the history since Reagan's amnesty in the 80s, yeah, both parties have been in charge, at least for some period of the time.
And you're making reference to specifically the event that I recall well, sitting at Main Justice, talking to people. Again, we're not involved in legislation as U.S. attorneys, but anticipating changes in the immigration law for enforcement purposes. We thought this was going to happen. And then, yes, that's absolutely right. Between the senator from Florida, other people deciding, nope, we can't have this happen under the Obama administration. We backed off. And everything follows from that and precedes that as well. Doesn't get us into a better state today. But that's the problem. I applaud the Biden administration for doing everything it possibly can. I recognize the ACLU is not particularly happy with the ways in which this is being rolled out. They filed a lawsuit challenging some of the trappings of this. It is hugely, hugely problematic at all levels. We've got to be focused upon humanity. We've got to be focused on the law such as it is. Got to do staffing. We've got to be thoughtful about law enforcement. Everything's got to be on the table. It's long, long overdue to do something about this problem. Now it's going to be back on our docket once again, and we're going to make it a political crisis once again, which it should not be.
Our fight guest, James Santel, former U.S. Attorney. Jim, I hadn't heard the despicable term anchor baby until today again. It had been a while, but suddenly we're back to talking about anchor babies, and I heard callers on right-wing talk radio talking about the 14th Amendment and birthright citizenship, and the concept that so many of these immigrants are really just coming here to birth babies so they can be U.S. citizens. And I'm thinking, well, that's been the way. I think there was, a legal decision in the 1890s that cast it this way, Jim. But don't we want people born here in this country to be citizens of this country? I'm less clear, other than the fact that Fox News makes a lot of money and drives a lot of ratings, making people fearful. I'm not sure why we are ginning up such fear of assimilating more Americans, those born here even.
Absolutely. And the law, the Constitution is clear. That's the basis upon which citizenship is premised in part. You can also get it, obviously, through other appropriate mechanisms. That's what our country has been founded upon. And beyond the legal trappings of it, we desperately need immigrants. We need people to come to this country, not only for our workforce, but for our social well-being, our cultural well-being. It adds to who we are as a nation. And this notion, once again, that, again, being espoused absolutely by those conservative talk show hosts and others out there, that somehow this is a battle that we now need to undertake and we're going to somehow affect the future of our nation. No, this is what the future of our nation is dependent upon, the growth and development of our population, both for those citizens and residents who are here and those who are coming here properly in the future. You know, I should note as well that the Constitution of the United States of America does not just apply to citizens. The Supreme Court has said this routinely, that all the protections in that Constitution do not simply apply to citizens. It is people in our nation. And that's why the courts have traditionally, in all sorts of due process settings, equal protection settings, have said, even if you are not even here legally, if you are not a citizen, you still benefit from the provisions of the Constitution and the good things that are the United States of America. We need to remember that in the midst of this vocal objection to what will probably not be happening here in America.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. That is James Santel. He's a friend of ours. He's a former U.S. attorney's host of Morning Cannolis here on the Civic Media Network Saturdays from 9 to 11 a.m. Jim, thank you. It's always great to see you. Let's get to some of the legal issues, problems for the former president. course, this week, E. Jean Carroll, a jury, including some, you know, folks who apparently admitted to listening to right-wing podcasts, unanimously found Donald Trump liable for what, sexual battery in this civil case, and also for defamation. Want to get a couple things from you, Jim, if I may. Number one, your thoughts on the verdict slash decision, I guess. And number two, the defamation. Donald Trump went on CNN saying the same kind of things he just got charged or found liable for. Again, Jim, is there a second case? So you go.
At that point, prompting E. Jean Carroll and Roberta Kaplan to be suggesting that maybe there will be another case because we've done it again. And again, I will say that his lawyers, I'm not especially fond of them to begin with for all their antics in this trial, have to be going nuts in trying to control their client. As to the verdict itself, absolutely, unanimity, civil trial, and also notable, six men, three women found based very quickly, about 3 hours, found based upon the evidence presented to them that an event happened over a quarter century ago. That is a remarkable thing to be able to prove that in court. She did it by virtue of her very compelling testimony, graphic, specific about what happened to her, corroborated by people to whom she reached out after it happened, corroborated by at least two other women who are also among the, two dozen women in this nation who maintain that they've been sexually abused, assaulted by the former president. The verdict is a result of Donald Trump's own words in his deposition, and doubling down, I think very importantly, very significantly for this jury, on the Access Hollywood notion that, yes, that's what you do. He had the chance in that deposition to back off of that language and say, oh, no, I was just talking to Billy Bush on some 6:30 event television show, but he didn't. He said, no, that's exactly what we do. And I think more than anything else, that affirmation, he didn't testify himself, that affirmation makes the credible presentation by E. Jean Carroll very compelling. Obviously, the jury agreed with that, returns this verdict. She's got $5 million, and she can enforce that. She can enforce that. We'll look forward to that happening.
Folks, you are listening to the Devils Advocates Radio Show. It's the Friday edition. We've got a fine guest. He is James Santel. If you want to hear his big show, you got to stick around till tomorrow morning. That's Morning Cannoli, Saturday morning, with the aforementioned former U.S. Attorney James Santel. Jim, the testimony, the depositional testimony, the fact that Donald Trump basically cooked his own goose in a multitude of ways. He also identified E. Jean Carroll, the plaintiff, as Marla. That's my wife. That's Marla. And it wasn't even being asked of him. The question being posed to him is, there's E. Jean Carroll. There's you. You acknowledge this is, oh, I know the husband. Da, 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 da. Oh, and that's my wife. They didn't ask him the question he offered of his own volition, and he cooked his own goose. And maybe it's just $5 million, Jim, but that's a hell of an expensive misstatement.
It is. That's why Donald Trump, so much out of control. Lawyer's worst nightmare as a client, as I said. And that, too, volunteered information. This is an unforced error, as we say in the sports world, but a big one. And affirms, and again, specifically refutes the notion that this was not his type. In fact, plainly, the woman in that picture was his type. He thought that was his first wife. The jury once again looks at it and says, no, Mr. Defendant, we don't believe you.
Unfortunately, not a criminal conviction. And a day or so later, he's off on CNN doing it again. Come back, our fine guest, Jim Santel. On the other side, we'll do it again.
If you're not turned on to politics.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving.
Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
So much waiting for me. Yeah, I wanna go outside. I wanna be.
We're here.
Whoa, that was fast.
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy tonight with a chance for scattered rain showers. Lows dip down to about 51. Northeasterly winds, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow. Slight chance for scattered rain showers. Daytime highs approaching 65. Slight chance for scattered showers again tomorrow night. Lows level off around 48. Overcast. Chance for scattered rain showers Sunday with highs in the low 60s. Clear skies Monday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 70.
News and talk. Up, down, and all around the Fox Valley. This is Civic Media.
The big and tall of political talk. The Devil's Advocates.
And welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. James Santel, our friend, former U.S. attorney, joining us. Jim, thanks for sticking around. I wanted to move on to some of the legal news of the day. And one of my favorites, George Santos, if that's your real name, finally charged wire fraud, money laundering, and stealing public money with regards to what he was getting some COVID unemployment money when he should not have been. And now he's, can cast a vote in that regard. Jim, want to get your thoughts. What do you think of the charges? And if convicted, how much time do you think a guy like this would actually do?
Yeah, so the six counts wire fraud, three money laundering, making false statements, one count stealing public money. All those are counts that are basic prosecution units that describe how he affected these two big things. You just mentioned one of them, illegally receiving about $24,000 in unemployment benefits during the pandemic, has no entitlement to that. That is fraud. Presumably the government has this application, the documents, the approval of it, all those kinds of bank records that support that. Fairly compelling case. Arguably even worse, although it's difficult to say which one of these is more compelling, $50,000 in campaign donations using for personal expenses. Again, that's a violation of federal law, just in case anyone's unclear on that notion. George Santos presumably now clear on all of that. He plainly also finally resolving his international problems, so that's out there as well. That may or may not result in a higher sentence here. I invoke that only because in the sentencing guidelines, one of the things that judges take a look at in imposing sentence is your prior criminal record. And his disposition of that case coming out of South America may or may not be there. I haven't looked at that in a while. But as a practical matter, if you add up all of these 11, 12, 13 counts or so, each one's of carrying variously 5, 10 years in jail, lots of exposure there. He will not get that period of time. But not only the fraud, which is compelling here, it seems to be very straightforward, but the fact that you're doing this in violation of the federal trust. There's also a portion of the sentencing guidelines that gives you an enhancement, if you will, recommended to the judge that there be a higher level. If in fact you've done this in some way that violates the public confidence placed in you, that is this. Would not be surprised if once he is convicted, who knows, if he got a right to jury trial, presumption of innocence attends him, but could get several years in prison for this kind of thing. Again, not only to deter him, which in this case is significant, you want to stop him from doing this, but also to stop the other George Santoses out there. That's general deterrence, which we've talked about a lot. You do this, you'll get in trouble, you'll get indicted by the Department of Justice, you'll go to trial, get convicted, your conviction will be affirmed on appeal. and you'll be spending some significant years in prison. Specific as to him, general as to the rest of the world. Again, another important prosecution going on, appropriately the focus of America's attention.
Jim Santel, our fun guest. Jim, you absolutely know that this could be a blueprint for the prosecution of the former president, Donald Trump. He is alleged and basically committed the same crimes in broad daylight. The crime, of course, being raising campaign money under false premise and using it for personal enrichment, which seemingly is the grift behind the Trump campaign. Jim, how is it that Santos, and he was squealing from the podium that day post-indictment, and he walked out to the podium, eventually got there, and said, this happened so rapidly. It's been 4 or 5 months, and I'm thinking he makes a valid point. When's Trump going to get charged?
Right.
On wire fraud, on the financial crimes associated with raising money on the January 6th in the rigged election.
Right. And we almost forget about that aspect of this, right? We think about the ellipse and his enticements, incitements to people to go and attack the Capitol. That's a part of this, too. And don't be surprised if the Department of Justice, I'm still very hopeful, I believe this will happen, that there will, in fact, be an announcement sometime this summer, I hope, by the Attorney General that our former president's been indicted. And there will be a financial component to some of the counts in that indictment, again, because they're discrete prosecution units. You can identify, like the Santos thing, say, here are the documents, here are the numbers. You don't have to rely upon, well, how did this impact you? This is clear. And so it is a blueprint in many, many ways to what should happen in the Trump prosecution as well. You know, it also stands, you know, for this larger issue, again, about public trust. And I think that will come through as well in the indictment coming out from the Department of Justice. I shared that your same response when I listened to Santos, number one, not understanding civics, that you can be charged for your crimes whenever the prosecution is ready to go. So he's kind of misleading the United States of America generally on that. But he does have a bit of a point. And this is the one that the three of us have made repeatedly on this fine broadcast, which is TikTok. You know, there are lots and lots of things you can pick from when it comes to Donald Trump. Jack Smith now has to identify those discrete prosecution units that can be indicted, that can be tried, that can be explained to a jury clearly, and that we can get convictions on. I already talked about, you know, my March 1 deadline has come and gone. The longer this goes on, the greater the possibility that this may not reach fruition.
Jim, let's talk about that. Dom and I argued this point at least extensively earlier this week. George Santos, during the course of his, and Jim, can you stick around for a few more minutes? Because I've got some follow-up questions as well. But
absolutely.
George Santos, during the course of his post-indictment press conference, was quick to reassure he's running for re-election. And we talked about timing. We broached this issue before. The timing of Santos's indictment, first and foremost, he can continue to run for office under indictment. Is it likely he would come to trial between now and next year's election? He's back on the ballot as a congressman. And is there anything that the DOJ would, or a federal judge, would they, you know, fail to bring this to trial within 60 days of the election, as Crudy contended earlier this week? But Jim, before you answer, yeah, take a little short commercial break. But come back on the other side and tell me I'm all right and Dom's mostly wrong. Side. More Devil's
Advocates. We'll talk about it.
More Devil's Advocates. We got a fine guest. He is Jim Santel. He's the host of Morning Cannolis. You got to get up tomorrow morning, 9 to 11, for his big show. But stick around. We ain't done yet. The Happier Happy Hour rolls on.
This is Civic Media for the Fox Valley.
ABC News, I'm Andy Field. A jury in Idaho convicting Lori Vallow Daybell on 7 counts, including the murder of her 2 children and ex-wife of her current husband. Prosecutors called it a doomsday plot based on her religious beliefs. Larry Woodcock, grandfather of J.J. Vallow, one of the children killed, thanked the jury.
What they went through, what they saw, is mind-boggling.
I hope that nobody ever has to go through this.
Fellow Daybell faces life in prison. Her husband, Chad Daybell, will stand trial this summer. The former Marine who placed homeless subway rider Jordan Neely in a deadly chokehold made his first court appearance today on manslaughter charges. Daniel Penny did not enter a plea. He was released on bond pending trial. Residents in the Upper Plains bracing for severe weather and the threat of tornadoes. In Texas, heavy rain could lead to flash flooding over the weekend. This is ABC News.
Unthawed or thawed? These are the questions the Kreipzcast will cover every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Can you just pull them brats out of the freezer? That'd be fantastic.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. Healthcare is the number one concern for people in Wisconsin. That's according to the Conservative Institute for Reforming Government, which recently held 42 listening sessions in 25 communities around Wisconsin. The study found adults of all ages are concerned about access to care, declining mental health, and about addiction. An historic overhaul of Wisconsin's shared revenue system is one step closer to passing the legislature. The Assembly's Local Government Committee sent the bill to the full Assembly yesterday. Democrats are raising objections about strings attached to the bill, but Republican Chairman Todd Novak says Democrats have had their chance to shape it.
Yes, it is a Republican bill. But your party did have a lot of input and suggestions and stuff.
Governor Evers says he'll veto the bill without big changes. In sports, the Brewers host Kansas City tonight. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Are record high energy and water costs putting a squeeze on your fixed or limited incomes? With inflation rising at record levels and incomes not keeping pace, you might be one of tens of thousands of Wisconsin residents who are struggling to survive. While you may not ask for it, the Keep Wisconsin Warm Cool Fund and your local energy assistance providers are here to help. No Wisconsin resident should ever have to be without heat, water, or power. For a hand up, apply today and call 1-800-506-5596. That's 800-506-5596. Or visit www.heat.help. That's www.heat.help.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Save the $2 on tomorrow's paper. Listen to the Devil's Advocates today.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. You've almost survived your week. Hell, if you got no plans for this evening, call Ebone right now. 844-967-2789. I got two pair of Brewers tickets for tonight's game, 7:10 first pitch. If you get a little bit late to the seats, that'd be like the norm for Dom. He's always fashionably late. But thanks to our flagship, Brewers flagship, WISS 1100 AM and 98.3 FM, and of course, WRCE Radio from the Center, our two fine Brewers affiliates, we got tickets for you. They're freebies. Just call Ebone right now. Tell them you want the tickets and you love the Devil's Advocates and you love our fine guest, Jim Santel. Jim, we appreciate you sticking around. And I have many questions because Dom and I, you know, we need you to arbitrate which one of us is right. The question, timing in federal elections. So if it comes to Donald Trump, and my contention, Jim, is if Trump is your nominee if he wins the Republican primary and we get within 2 months of the general election, I feel it would be very difficult for the Department of Justice to indict that late in. And what's your thought on that? The indictment within a couple months of an election.
Right. So there are internal memorandums. They're not laws. They're not legislative mandates. They're not directives from the president, but they're internal memorandums about this issue. And it vests considerable discretion in the prosecution generally, including U.S. attorneys, to make this judgment call. Remember, the U.S. attorney in Northern Illinois had to make a tough call with Ron Blagojevich not too long ago when he was selling the seat previously occupied by the future president, the president of the United States of America, Barack Obama at that time. So the so-called 60-day period, again, is not enshrined in statutes or regulations, but it is just this notion that you do not want necessarily to affect the results of an election. You want to do something that purposely affects the results of an election by virtue of charging in that period of time. Having said that, the other part of this, of course, is that there is also this mandate that when a prosecutor is ready to go with a prosecution, the notion that you're waiting on it, that you're doing something that's not related to the interests of justice, the promotion of the rule of law, that can also be problematic. And so when it comes to Donald Trump and what may be happening around this time next year as we go into summer, into the fall, you better believe that there are going to be an awful lot of discussions between, say, U.S. attorney in D.C., maybe New York as well, and the attorney general, the deputy attorney general, about the timing of all of this. And again, this is going to be the flagship, if you will, in terms of precedent here. Doesn't necessarily mean that it cannot happen. I would like to think that sometime long before a convention happens here in Milwaukee, charges will be out there. The question then is the trial itself, and who are you pending in front of? So, for example, George Santos, he's in Eastern New York. That's basically Long Island. He's appearing in front of a judge named Joanna Seibert. He's got to show up again on June 30th. Entirely possible that trial could be conducted before the next congressional election, also in 2024. There's a 70-day period under the Speedy Trial Act from the time of your first appearance here, basically. That will be extended. In the case of Donald Trump, that will be long extended, as we've said before, because they're going to find that it's complex. And depending upon how the case is charged, defense counsel are going to come in and make a lot of arguments about that. But all that depends, again, upon the charging discretion, the timing by the Department of Justice, by the Attorney General, be his call. And then a lot of advocacy in front of the trial judge to whom a Trump indictment is assigned. And most judges are, and I think we've seen this before, are saying, you know what? It's very interesting that you're running for the presidency of the United States of America. I've got a courtroom to run, and you're a defendant like everybody else, and I will make findings based upon what's in front of me. I'm not simply going to postpone a trial just because you happen to be in the fill in the blank, the Iowa caucuses or the Wisconsin primary. Most judges will say, I run my court according to what my schedule mandates and what the requirements of the facts of this case are. So a lot of discretion built into that. I think the George Santos trial can, in fact, happen before next November. A trial of Donald Trump, less likely because of the complexity, but could still happen depending upon the judge to whom the case is assigned. Again, understanding Speedy Trial Act does place mandates. You can't extend this forever.
Our fine guest, Jim Santel. One more quickly, Jim. Any difference when you talk about state courts or local municipalities, perhaps Fulton County or the Manhattan DA's office, any guardrails on state level or local jurisdictional prosecutions?
Yeah, most of them also have speedy trial acts of various kinds. Not familiar with them in every single state, but they also have mandates. Again, once you've indicted, the notion is that the defendant and the public have a right to a trial within a relatively fair and reasonable period of time. And so those will be attended to. Again, state court judges, like federal judges, can make findings extending that time based upon the interests of justice, interests of the defendant, interests of the public generally, usually premised upon the complexity of the case, maybe some other things related to witnesses from time to time. But those considerations can also happen at the state level. Bonnie Willis, other people out there considering state charges. We already know that Bragg, the DA in Manhattan, has done that already. Are thoughtful about these issues too. The election's looming. It causes all sorts of internal, maybe not external discussions by those folks, but internal considerations that go to how best to protect the interests of justice with the prosecution and the legitimacy of that prosecution being at the top of that list and not things unrelated to what happens in court.
James Santel, former U.S. attorney, our friend. Well, Fani Willis has already announced to the sheriffs and the police, expect criminal indictments between July and September. Hell, it's imminent, Jim. Given those time frames, let's say she lays them down mid-July, right? He's indicted. He's been charged, right? When does that 70-day to trial thing start? And given those time frames as we know them, is it plausible that they could actually complete that trial prior to the election next year?
Right. So I should have stuck up on Georgia law in particular. The 70 days is under the Federal Speedy Trial Act. Okay. I suspect Georgia is fairly similar.
Close, sir. Let's assume that.
A couple months or so, that sort of thing. The judge will probably extend it. He usually does in what will really be a white collar case. Not a paper case, but a white collar transactional case like this. I could see in a state court, again, not having practiced in Georgia, that the judge there, and that Bonnie Willis will also push for a trial, perhaps sometime in early 2024, when we're right in the middle of the campaign. And again, even a state court judge is not going to say, well, gee, I'm sorry, the defendant's got to be off campaigning for the next primary. Not going to spend a lot of time on that issue. Might be doing some things around the edges, but the judges will focus there in Georgia as well. I could see again, depending upon who she charges this, if it is discreet enough, has to do with a phone call, maybe the fake electors are there as well, maybe some John Eastman stuff related to this overall plan with the vice president, other attempts to affect poll workers there in Georgia. She will not fall into the trap of doing too much in an indictment. You need to focus this on the big things, the core things that underscore the attempt to defraud here. Again, it could very well be that right about now, summertime of 2024, as we're going to the conventions, you could have a trial in the state court. I won't bet you lunch on that, but I think that's a strong possibility.
Jim, back on the federal level, does former president, federal candidate Donald Trump receive any different prosecution or effort towards him than federal candidate George Santos? You know what I'm saying? These are both guys running for election. Trump does not have the protection of the presidency at this time. He's just a regular citizen. Would whatever application apply to one apply to the other, or is there an exception for a former president?
There certainly is not. Nothing written in the law. And even though people, and certainly Donald Trump, seems to think that he's got this special cast on him for the rest of his life, the answer is not. He is a private citizen. He, I will say, will be indicted both in the state system and by the federal system. And he is subject to all of the rules and regulations of the federal criminal code, just as George Santos is as well. And again, it looks as if the judge, as to that case, the Santos case, again, scheduling something in late June. I suspect that she is going to hold his feet to the fire and continue down the road of enforcing the law in her court, whoever the federal district court judge is, presumably in Washington, D.C., who ends up with the Trump indictment, will do the same thing and will not be very much interested in the political machinations and obligations of her candidate. He or she has an obligation to bring that case to trial. Will also presumably impose, as some judges have, some, I don't want to call them gag orders, but some restrictions on what the parties, including the defendant, should be talking about outside of the courtroom. We know Donald Trump has great difficulty with that. That could be a source of continuing concern in that proceeding. But again, the judge is in control and not going to be guided by the fact that you happen to have been employed for 4 years by the United States government, not an issue.
Jim, I'm done on the Trump questions. Let's clear you got another Trump question, but I want to move on quickly to Mark Pomerantz. He was subpoenaed by the Judiciary Committee, of course, under what, Cy Vance, Manhattan DA prosecutor investigating Donald Trump. He pled the fifth today, Jim, which I guess I'm not surprised, but I guess I didn't consider when I realized he was going to be testifying after the subpoena and Alvin Bragg, and they came to terms. I wanted to get your sense of how that went down, Jim. What do you think that means?
Yeah, it's curious to me, too, and I really, again, have to scratch my head about this one. Again, Pomerantz is out there. He's written a book about this, right? We know that. He is plainly no friend of Alvin Bragg, and again, curious that he was subpoenaed in the first place, because presumably this is a witness who would talk about how he was aggrieved by the fact that he was not permitted to prosecute Donald Trump. Right. The Republicans want to call him in. That's kind of curious. But exactly what the nature of his Fifth Amendment invocation is certainly suggests that there is something else going on here. I hesitate to speculate without pondering that more and thinking more about what the news reporting is all about there. You would think that, again, especially after Alvin Bragg has basically given up on his attempt to try to keep Pomerantz from testifying, withdrew the appeal, said, go ahead and do this, which was surprising in and of itself. Lots of twists and turns here. This Pomerantz thing is a head scratcher to me, especially, again, since I think, if anything, he would talk about, and again, Fifth Amendment as to him, not Fifth Amendment as to Donald Trump. He doesn't invoke that as to the target of his investigation. What things would he say that would tend to incriminate him? That is a concern.
Jim, I got time maybe for just one more question.
All right.
What should happen to U.S. Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas, and what's the venue for retribution?
Yeah.
At least what ethical retribution, like uphold him to an ethical standard. There's not right. one, is there, Jim?
Right. What has to happen here is John Roberts needs to take control of this. And he's got, again, he made the decision not to appear in front of Dick Durbin's committee. I get that maybe at some level. He's got to say, listen, folks, listen to the rest of you, including Clarence. We need to embrace the standards that are imposed upon all the judges whose decisions we review, appeals court, district court. We got to do that. We got to let the judicial conference know that we're going to be ethically on the right side of ethics here. Appearances of impropriety, real improprieties here. We got to recuse ourselves when we have cases involving, oh, I don't know, Harlan Crow, including the Trammell Crow case from a number of years ago. We can't have these kinds of things going on. He's got to, and really it's that self-patrolling, but John Roberts has got to take control of this. Short of that, yes, somehow our Congress has got to impose a regulation, a code on its own. The Congress can do that without any separation of powers problems. They do that with all kinds of things routinely. The third option, you talk about a guy named Samuel Chase, who was once impeached, not removed, but once impeached by the House of Representatives. That is an option too, not going to happen under this regime. But all those things are out there. They need to get their house in order.
So we'll get no solutions, Jim.
We'll get no solutions in the immediate future.
Thank you, sir. Hope you have a wonderful weekend and a great show
you
tomorrow
also.
Morning. Tune in. Morning Cannolis with our pal Jim Santel, 9 to 11 on the Civic Media Network. The rest of you, stick around. More show coming.
Smell that? That's the smell of carefully crafted coffee being poured into your cup with natural notes you can truly taste and freshness you can count on. The High Lift is the only standalone late-day coffee shop in Two Rivers, offering local bakery items with spacious lawn and outdoor seating. The High Lift takes time to weigh out their ingredients, so every sip is perfect. The High Lift, 1207 Madison Street in Two Rivers, and on Facebook.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy tonight with a chance for scattered rain showers. Lows dip down to about 51. Northeasterly winds, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow. Slight chance for scattered rain showers. Daytime highs approaching 65. Slight chance for scattered showers again tomorrow night. Lows level off around 48. Overcast. Chance for scattered rain showers Sunday with highs in the low 60s. Clear skies Monday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 70.
A fresh approach to finding common ground in the Fox Valley. This is Civic Media.
Civic Media.
The Devil's Advocates, radio for the 99%.
Hallelujah, it's Friday.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Make sure you check us out on the socials, on Twitter at Devil Radio, on Facebook at the Devil's Advocates Radio, and of course, get the podcast for the interviews and the shows at the civicmedia.us webpage. Click on the show tab and look for the Devil's Advocates.
Dom, want to thank our most recent guest, a fine one, former U.S. Attorney James Intel, friend of the Devil's Advocates, and host of Morning Cannolis. Don't forget, tomorrow morning, 9 to 11, you better tune them in all across the Civic Media Network. And Dom, still time for your phone calls, and probably got some Brewer tickets to give away. Just tell Ebone you want the ticket for tonight's game against the Royals. Now, the Royals are sub-500. Brewers are half game out. They win tonight. A little bit of luck. They could be in first place by tomorrow, Dom. 844-967-2789. One other quick self-indulgent thought. I have a comedy concert this weekend. Again, it is the spring of Crudy, spring and summer of Crudy. I'm hoping so. Samantha Bee. Remember when we met her at the DNC? A very funny woman. And I'm going to ask her if I bump into her, you know, because she'll be looking for me in the crowd, I bet. Hey, Samantha, you remember the dude with the cheese head on top of the badger hat? And I told you, you should be the host of the Daily Show. And you said, I'm okay doing one day a week. The full frontal, just a one-day show Wednesday nights. You can tune it in on the TBS. But anyways, going to see her in concert tomorrow night, comedy style. 844-967-2789. If you want to hear some funny, let's get to Lou from Cudahy.
Yeah.
Hey, Lou.
Knock, knock, Lou.
Who's there?
You, buddy. Talk. What do you got?
Cool. Hey, you know, the Federation for American Immigration Reform, FairUS.org, says that Biden now allowed in 6 million illegals since he took office. And you put that together with Governor Evers releasing, I think he commuted or released, pardoned.
How are the two related? But, Lou, how are the two related? How is
I'm making my point right now?
Okay, you better make a good one, man.
Yeah, it's an easy one to make. If you support and do all that stuff, it's proof in my mind that Democrats are the party of pro-crime. They like it. It's okay that if criminals get away in and get away with stuff and get loose.
Lou, you don't believe that for a minute, do you, man? I mean, seriously, you don't think any Democrat goes home and thinks, man, I'm really down for more crime. Who wants more crime, Lou? It's a ridiculous premise.
I would enable you to say that I'm a conspiracy theorist, but actually that stuff did happen.
Well, you are a conspiracy theorist if you believe it, Lou, but, you know, that's a self-assessment. 844-967-2789. Rico from Rock County, how you doing, fella?
Hey, Rico.
Hey, doing good, guys. I don't get it with these cons, you know? Conservatives. You know, earlier you talked about the babies down at the border and they got their panties up in their crawl about this, you know? And it's like, hey, you know what? You guys were the party that prayed for more babies, protested for more babies. And you know what? The Lord behold unto you 10 times more babies than you so desire. There you go.
They want more
of these babies now.
Rico, they want more white babies. Not so much the brown babies, not the third world country, the immigrant babies, less so. They want more white babies because otherwise, as Tucker Carlson would have told you on Fox News, the white man will be diluted through the immigrants. You know, if you believe that somehow immigration dilutes your Americanism, like you're less of an American because we're letting more people in, I mean, you start to understand the twisted logic of the Tuckers and the MAGA and the racist, really. I think, Rico, I think it all stems from racism, fella.
There's no doubt about it. Hello? Oh, I got cut off.
Oh, you didn't get cut off, man. Just we didn't cut you off verbally, so you thought you were being cut off. But no, you got any final thoughts, Rico? What are you doing for the missus for Mother's Day? You taking care of her?
Oh, we got a big party planned. We got a big party planned. But looking forward to those seats were great. Me and my grandson went, and oh my gosh, we have a good time. I really want to thank you guys, man. That was a memory he's going to have for the rest of his life. Thanks, guys.
You're welcome, Rico.
Nice, Rico.
Making memories. Usually Don does that in the back seat of the car. 844-967-2789. He's coming on soon. He's Pizza Box Mike outside the Pizza Box. He'll be on the Civic Media Network, at least WMDX, starting at 7 o'clock. How you doing, Pizza Box? Were you hiding in the parking lot somewhere?
What's up, Mike?
I'm on the square, but I had to call just because of that, you know, that Evers comment and the $6.2 million and stuff. You know, this country has been letting people come in since the beginning of time, right? The only difference is when the pilgrims got here, they went through immigration, right?
Right.
Okay. They just don't want anybody to have what they had, which was they were, you know, I guess, born into this freedom, right? But nobody else can be. And you know what? Evers didn't pardon anybody. He didn't do any commuting of the sentences like this guy was going to try and misinform people with. People get paroled every year. It has nothing to do with the governor. It has with them
serving their time. Pizza Box, accurately, though, Lou's right about this. The current governor, Tony Evers, has pardoned, I think it's approaching 1,000 people in the five-ish years. He's been governor of the state of Wisconsin. And you contrast that with Scott Walker, who in 8 years pardoned 0 people. There was not a single reformed Wisconsinite worthy of redemption. You know, that seems like a Christian principle. But, you know, he's not exactly a practicing Christian.
No, 1,000 people getting their sentences pardoned, commuted. Why doesn't he do the research on why they were let free? Was it for marijuana and some other stuff? But meanwhile, you guys want to arm everybody and get drunk and not let anybody do anything if it's not what you like to do. That's freedom in America, bunch of clowns. Come on.
Well, it is a F Your Feelings Friday, Pizza Box Mike.
Thanks, Mike.
844-967-2789. Mark from the SAC, very patient man. How you doing, Mark?
Hey, Mark.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and Ron Johnson should quit flapping his mouth about Hunter Biden's crimes, because Ron Johnson is one step away from him being indicted on the whole fake electors.
I hope you're right about that, Mark.
The government.
And then we could talk about the 14th Amendment blocking him from the ballot in all future elections. Mark, you got 30 seconds to make a final point, my friend. You got the last word today.
And Lou should attend to his Matthew in the Bible and actually say we're supposed to be welcoming the stranger, because we're supposed to welcome the immigrant and take care of people. But he must not believe in the Bible, must not believe in Jesus then, because he's rejecting Matthew, 35 in the Bible, where we're supposed to take care of one another.
Mark, I think he's been wandering in the desert for like 40 years. Hope you have a wonderful weekend, my friend. I hope you all do. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. Don't forget, outside the Pizza Box at 7 o'clock right here on WMDX Mad Radio with our pal, Pizza Box Mike. Have a great one, everyone.
Are record high energy and water costs putting a squeeze on your fixed or limited incomes? With inflation rising at record levels and incomes not keeping pace, you might be one of tens of thousands of Wisconsin residents who are struggling to survive. While you may not ask for it, the Keep Wisconsin Warm Cool Fund and your local energy assistance providers are here to help. No Wisconsin resident should ever have to be without heat, water, or power. For a hand up, apply today and call 1-800-506-5596. That's 800-506-5596. Or visit www.heat.help. That's www.heat.help.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic ABC Media News app.